hands. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The brothers and sisters, let's remain standing for scripture reading. Please meditate on the word as I read. Today's scripture is from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated and welcome Pastor YC for the word today.
Good afternoon, church, and peace be with you. If someone were to ask you, what is the core of the Christian faith? What would be your answer? You probably will say love, grace, redemption, or Jesus Christ. So these answers are correct. But the Apostle Paul in the passage that we just heard has shared something that even more specific, even more subversive in a sense. He said that the core of Christian faith is the cross. And we can understand that because for us who has belief, it is the power of God to save us. But to those who have perished, they're just, you know, foolishness. So the Apostle Paul's answer was something that is shocking to the time, to the people at the time. Let me explain to you why. The cross of the first century, what's a cross for? We know that it's the most cruel and the most shameful tool for death penalty. It's equivalent to our today's electric chair. You know, that's a death punishment, hanging on the gallows, or even through some injection. So that was the cross of the first century. It's not as beautiful. It doesn't symbolize sanctity. It doesn't symbolize holiness. It doesn't symbolize peace and love. It's something that's very cruel. So nobody likes to talk about the cross. But the world's reaction to it is that it is absurd. It is offensive to say that, you know, this is the God who died on the cross. It's as good as saying that, are you believing in a God who was executed by the electrical chair today? Do you believe in a God? That one that you're being executed on the electric chair and you call him your God? So it's something that to them, to the time, to the people at the time, the people in Corinth, it is something that absurd. Today, I hope that, you know, as we think about this, the message of the cross, it will sound absurd to us. It ought to be. It's not something that flows through the normal common sense, even logically. It is something of God's doing. So unless you come to him by faith and believing, you find that it is something that very repulsive. Cross is very repulsive, right? So let's look at it. What's the world's perspective? To the world, the cross is foolishness and also a stumbling block. As in verse 18, it says that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, Paul particularly singled out two group of people. In fact, represent all of us. There's a two group of cultural elites at the time. The first group are the Greeks. We know why the Greeks are famous for their philosophy, right? So the pursuit of wisdom is the goal of their life. They love philosophy, debates, and then the pursuit of reasoning, logical thinking. And when they think about it, how could God Almighty die in humiliation? This doesn't make sense. It's completely illogical. Remember, this is in Corinth. Corinth is a metropolitan city whereby there's a trade route and it's a very bustling town. And many people come and go. So the people there are exposed to all different types of philosophy. And being still in a very Greek culture, you realize that that's why there's a very famous Aphrodite temple whereby they have 1,000 temple, we call the priestess, you know. And this is how they worship God in the Aphrodite temple. So it's very famous. A lot of people come and visit the place. So when Paul was there to preach something like this, it's neither scholarly, neither is it that you can prove anything there through a lot of things like what the Jews that seeks the miracle. So to the Greek, the cross is foolishness. Just like sometimes you share the gospel with people, say, huh, so easy, ah. We don't do anything, just like believe in Jesus, you can be saved. My sin will pardon, just confess, and then my sin will be forgiven. So easy, no need to do anything. You know, it's like, cannot be, lah. You know, yeah, that's why the cross is foolishness to those that who think that they are very wise in a human sense. But the Jews are the one, the other group of people who want to seek miracle. They are the one that who expect a powerful military leader and a political savior. Remember, these Jews, they have their roots all the way in the Old Testament. They know their history. What does the history tell them? What is the depiction of God in the in their history? The history tells them that the God, Jehovah, is a God there who opened the Red Sea, who performed miracles, who sent out plagues to the Egyptian, who rescued their people, you know, from the Egyptian slavery. And now, where are we? We are under the rules of Roman Empire. Will God send, not Moses this time, he will send Messiah to save us from the Roman's hand. Right? So now, you tell me that that one that been crucified on the cross died, can't even save his own life. This is Messiah. Blasphemy. To them, it's blasphemy. How can you say our God is like that? Don't you know our God? How great our God? How great our God? And now you tell me this God, so weak, can't even save himself, die on the cross? It is totally a stumbling block for them. Cross become a stumbling block. Today, it's the same thing for all of us. Either you pursue wisdom or pursue miracle. You know, this can be foolishness to you, can be a stumbling block for you as well. We just look at this person. Imagine a young woman working at one of the top tech companies, okay? It can be Google, Apple, maybe, you know, ChatGPT, or maybe a biotech firm. Her colleagues are brilliant, designing artificial intelligence, creating medical breakthroughs, even talking about colonizing Mars. You know who's that, right? One day at lunch, she quietly shared her faith, saying, I find my hope and strength in the cross of Jesus Christ. The room falls silent for a moment. Probably a few chuckles picked up. Then someone says, wait, wait. You mean you put your hope in a man who was executed 2,000 years ago? Don't you think that's foolish? We have moved on from all that. Science will save us, not religion. Suddenly, this particular woman, this lady, feels very small, almost embarrassed. I should not probably should not share that. But she also knows that her colleague, for all their intelligence, these colleagues of their of her still struggle with broken marriages, crippling anxiety, emptiness, and guilt that no technology can erase. So the cross may look like foolishness to them, right? But it is still the only place where true forgiveness, peace, and eternal hope can be found. So the foolishness of God proves wiser than all our human wisdom. You look at what is the logic of the world versus the message of the cross. The logic of the world tells you that to succeed, you must climb the ladder. Climb harder. Okay? you must go up the ladder so that you can be successful. To be strong, you must flex your muscle. Don't let people walk all over you. You are the boss. Act like a boss. Tell people to do things, okay? Flex your muscle. You're the customer. State your right. You're the citizen of Singapore. Challenge people or whatever. Be an opposition party. You must flex your muscle. You're right. Survival of the fittest become the law of society. This is what the world is, how it operates. But if you were to tell somebody who believes in this, and then you tell him, hey, brother, true strength is found in service. True victory is achieved through self-denial. And true life comes only through first dying. You know what your brother will do? He put a palm on your head. hot seal. Whether you have running fever or not. Are you thinking straight? In other words, are you thinking straight? Are you sure or not? Cannot survive. If you follow this one, cannot survive. You must follow the logic of the world. So this is how repulsive the message of cross is. It doesn't fit into the culture. It doesn't fit into the surrounding. That's why that it stick up like a sore thumb. That's why when Paul was preaching among the Gentiles, it's not easy. So you preach among the Jews will just take it as a stumbling block. Now you preach across, and the Gentile will think there's a foolishness. Why are you going to tell me? Well, we are the Greek. No? We always pride ourselves as very intelligent and wise people. And you come and tell me about Christ crucified. The only way, that's your God. Right? So look at it. But you look at it. How does God respond to the world's misunderstanding and rejection? The world doesn't understand. The world doesn't want to. So they certainly will reject that. You ask, what would God do? Does God compromise? Does he find a more respectable way to save, for example? Maybe, when the shepherd gather at the field and they hear, they see all the angels, and then maybe Jesus is among them in the middle, coming down and then declare to the whole world, I am the way, the truth, and the life, believe in me and you shall be saved, get this broadcast worldwide, and then a lot of people come and know. Well, maybe this is a more respectable way of saving people. But God did not do that. God, in fact, respond in a very firm and even in a very revolutionary declaration. And what did he say? He said that the cross is the power and the wisdom of God. What? Cross is the power and the wisdom of God. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Let's see this, okay? Human, let's say we expand our capacity 100%, but there's still a limitation of human's wisdom, whether in your philosophy, your psychology, ethics, or technology, everything. Humans are very smart. We develop a lot of things. We try to extend our life, quality of life, the length of your time on earth, everything. But it cannot solve the problem of sin. It cannot promise any people eternal hope. But on one hand, you look at God, you're 100%. God says, you're 100%, I'm infinity, infinite. But even that is God's foolishness. That's my lowest IQ. It's even higher than yours. You know what I mean? So the foolishness methods of the cross provide complete salvation, the hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So sometimes, let's be humble and say that God's foolishness surpasses human wisdom. You say sometimes it's not easy to share the gospel with people. People think that, 太简单了, so easy, just say a prayer, so easy, just listen and then just believe my heart, then all my sin, whatever I do, God forgiven, then I have a new life, is it? Immediately. Oh, can you tell me something more, Chim? This is too simple, Don't look down on my IQ. Tell me something deeper. Challenge my thoughts. Right? A lot of people like to argue. That's what the Greek do, pursuit of wisdom. But God's, they say, Paul used a very anthropomorphic kind of way of saying that if God were a man, even his foolishness is wiser than you. This is what I say. So, truth is, human wisdom not only does not lead to God, which the Greek always think they do, but it can become even an obstacle to knowing God. Everything you want God to fall into your logical thinking, but God is illogical sometimes. The way that he does things is beyond. He used a symbol of shame. Remember the old rugged cross, the hymns? Oh, we were singing a hymn later on, right? On the hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the second line, the emblems of suffering and shame. God uses that to display his power, his wisdom. So that's very mind-boggling to a lot of people, right? Anyway, let's look at it. Why do it this way? Why God choose this way? I'll quote from this Ian Markham. He's a president of one of the renowned seminary in USA. And he said this. He said, when he come to this passage, he asked this question. Why do it this way? Why, God, you want to do it this way? I said, no, why not? No. All the whole angel, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then just come down, declare, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then everybody come to me. See, Paul explains that the focus on the inadequate is a necessary condition for true faith. When we see the power of God at work in powerlessness, and when we see that those granted the gift of faith are the least able, our pride should dissipate. I pray that our pride would dissipate. We cannot boast in our own efforts, but only in what God in Christ has done for us. In other words, you want to come to faith in Christ, you must know that you are inadequate. If you think you are very smart, you are very wise, you know better, God say, I know better. So that is how it is. When you face with life challenges, you have certain sickness, you go and see a doctor, cannot get healed, there's no medication they can take. No one in the world can help you. You cannot help yourself. You don't know what to do. You come to the point of inadequacy of yourself. There's no one, absolutely no one, nothing, no way can help you. Where do you turn to? I come across testimony of people who come to know the Lord. It's where at the time, whoever that come to them, tell them, you know this temple, you know this God, you know this deity is very good at this, they will just go. They will just donate money. They will just burn incense. They will just sacrifice piglet. They will do all this because they are desperate. Because they know that they are inadequate. They cannot. So when they are inadequate, you find that our hearts turns towards something that's bigger than us. And towards God. And Paul is telling them that, yes, this is it. Christ, the one that will crucify, will save you. So God's weakness is stronger than man's. Let's look at the Roman Empire. Roman Empire at the time during Jesus' time was the strongest, the biggest empire, right? And the power of the crucifixion. Where does the Roman Empire? They have a lot of power, of course, military power. But one of the power is a power to punish death penalty. And they are the one. Remember when Jesus wanted to be, the Pharisee wanted to crucify, want Jesus dead? They cannot do it, right? They know that's beyond their power. That's why they go to the Romans and say, only you can sentence him to death. So we bring him to you. They cannot do that. So the power of crucifixion suppresses what? Resistance. Any one of you dare to go against the Roman Empire, any one of you dare to go against the government, you will be crucified. And how cruel crucified? It's not caning. Crucified. Everybody look at it. You hang up there for a few days. Everybody pass by will see you. So people are scared. People are frightened. So they use this kind of fear, power to conquer people. But let me ask you, that was where Roman Empire. Today, can you find Roman Empire? You can be found only in history book. Right? Very strong, very powerful. But where are they? They are gone. But look at Jesus Christ at that time. Jesus Christ was on the cross, seems to be very weak. He can't even save himself. But look at what Jesus Christ has done today. It conquers the hearts of millions of people and changes entire history. Let me ask you, which is true power? Which is the real power? And which is the true power? So for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human wisdom. Strength. During the Roman Empire, they have this Colosseum. And today you can still visit Italy and visit the Colosseum. Colosseum was built for their entertainment, and the entertainment is very cruel. Basically, they'll get all the convict. The convict are not necessarily people break the law. The convict are people that who refuse to bow down to Caesar, offer incense and worship Caesar as God, and then these people will be captured. And then if they refuse to renounce their faith, what they do? They were thrown inside this Colosseum. Here you can see the picture depict that there's a group of Christians who refuse to renounce their faith. And then they do not want to bow to Caesar. At the end, they will let go, the soldier will open up, you know, the gate and then let the beasts and come and maul them and kill them alive. During that period, before all this takes place, there are hundreds and thousands of spectators outside, cheering. Some of them were shouting, "Why not you just bow to Caesar? Then you will save your life. Why go through all this? You can escape your suffering by just bowing down to Caesar. Acknowledge he's your God. That's it. You are free." But they refused to. And then these people at the end was killed by the animals. But each time this thing takes place, you thought that these people are so weak. They're no power. Right? They've been killed by the animal. You think, but historian tells us something happened. When the spectators look at this each time, something begins to surface in their heart, a question. Where do these people get their courage? What gives them the courage, the hope to face death? Where do they get it from? None of them dare to, but these people, who are they? Not learned people, not very powerful people. Where do they get the courage? Then they begin to think, why? Then they realize that all these people are Christian. They believe in the Jesus who crucified. And history tells us that among the spectators, many came to know the Lord. Remember John 12? Unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and dies, it abides alone. When it dies, it will bring forth much fruits. So these are the grains of the wheat that die. The fruits is on the spectacle and the hall area. You don't know. It may sound very weak, but the power of life actually emancipated from the testimony of these people who are faithful to the Lord. So Richard Nabel says that the cross does not deny the reality of death. In fact, it reinforces it. It denies its finality. That's why they can face death. To us today, you know, on and off, we will have drizzly by and all this. People passed on. But we know that death is not the end. It denies its finality. That's why these people can face death brave, with hope, with courage, even under persecution. Right? So what's the message of the cross? The message of the cross basically talking about God's grace. You cannot attain it by your wisdom. Neither can you demand it of God. But you can receive it by faith. And God changed the whole thing by faith. So it doesn't matter you're a priest or you're a tax collector. Whether you're a learner, you're unlearned. Whether you're Gentile or you're Jew, it doesn't matter. As long as you're willing to receive, believe in Him, you'll be saved. That is God's grace. And in it also shows God's glory. The power of the Roman Empire faded in history. But the power of the message of the cross continued until today and continued to spreading from continent to continent. God's glory. So, may we all find true wisdom in this message of foolishness of the cross. Experience real power in this weak decoration. Right? So, our response. What should be our response be? There are three responses we can. First, we can calibrate our values. Recalibrate our value or correcting our values, not to conform into world values. The world values will go by the law of the society, the law of the world. The fittest survive, the fittest. And then you have to fight very hard to get what you want. Yeah, sometimes we need to work hard, but to give and not to receive. Whether you work hard doesn't guarantee you will be successful, right? We all know. You study hard doesn't mean you score A's all the time, but the chances will be higher. But sometimes in life, it's a lot of things is beyond your control. As you become older and older, many of you become youth and YA, right? YA into adult. So you realize that there's a lot of things it's beyond your control. You will realize more and more things beyond your control. When you're young, you think everything's under your control. You can even command your daddy, mommy. When you're getting older, you realize that you can't in this world, right? So God's way is higher than ours. Trust that the foolishness of the message of the cross is actually the wisdom and the power of God. And you're able to stick through it, and you were able to prove that he is right. That's it. Second, glory of the cross. Not apologizing for the foolishness of the cross. Sometimes as Christians, we are very scared to tell people we are Christians. How many of you, your colleagues, you know, your friends know that you are Christian? Or many of them don't know. You know, if your colleague were to say to you, "Wow, I've been lunching with you for 3 years. Today only I know you're Christian." They say, "Oh, thank God. Because the earlier he know, he probably stick a very high moral standard for you. Then make sure, you know, you complain or not. You talk bad about government. You talk behind your boss or not. Whether you come on time or not. No. Wow, so none of us want to be, you know, hide our identity as Christian. But one thing I really admire, Pastor Park, you know, our missionary in Ira. When he moved to Ira, he bought the place, right? So give him some money to buy the place. So he bought the place. And then while he settled down, so that area, about 35 families. So he began to, he want to like introduce himself because he's new to this little area, the residential area. So he introduced himself. How does he introduce himself? He go there and say, "I'm Pastor Park. I'm a pastor. I come here to share the good news of Jesus and God's love." You are the neighbor, look at him. Korean. Come and say, "Will you say that?" Probably for us, we'll go to the step mode, you know, go inside, nobody know anything. Then we build up good friendship. Then we start to tell, "Hey, actually, I tell you, I'm a Christian." After some time. But very upfront, you go and tell them. And you thought people would be repulsive of that? From a common sense, no, you ask you, "Will you do that?" You probably won't do that. You say, "Oh, I'm a new neighbor that moved in. Hi, I'm Park." Don't want to use the word pastor. "I'm Park, you know. Okay, feel free to come." You would just do some very social kind of thing. But he very upfront. And tell you what happened. He was sharing, right, in August this year. Suddenly, within a few days, there was heavy rain downpour in Ira. And it flooded. The whole residential area flooded. And then at the time, he was not in Ira. He was in Tokyo. So he was wondering what happened to his house back in Ira, because he also heard the news, read the news. You know what happened? One of his neighbor, Japanese, called him and informed him that his house is saved. Friend, become friends. Look after you. 你不在家，我帮你看一看. How many of you, you know, whereby, you know, when raining, you know, you HDB, right? You put all your laundry out. And then when raining comes, you know, your neighbor knock on the door, "Hey, you forget to keep your laundry." Anyone, your neighbor do that? The very old one have. Probably I say block 19 have. My block, no. Block 19, they will shout across, hey, lo ho leo, siu sa. Then they all siu sa. Our block, no. Our block, even before you take it out, you have to look up, you know, do weather forecast, whether the 13th floor guy put up a wet mop, you know, that drips on you. But not apologizing for foolishness of the cross. It is foolishness. So don't get surprised when people look at you, you know, "You're Christian, you believe this kind of stuff." Yeah, I believe. Don't have to feel ashamed of it, right? So preach the truth that subverts life. Is this true? It's very subversive. Gospel is subversive. That's why to some people it becomes very offensive. But that is the nature of truth. It's split between the truth and the false, right? And challenges your pride. You think you're very wise? God, his foolishness is wiser than us. And then the third is to surrender before God. Acknowledge that our wisdom is limited. And so surrender to God's love and wisdom. So, what is our declaration then? My declaration will be, the cross is God's power and wisdom. And this is what we will read together as a church. Shall we? Let's read together. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." I pray that this may be our declaration, that we're not shameful of it, and in fact, we will boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall prepare our heart to come before the Lord's table and remember what he has done for us on the cross. Shall we all rise and we shall sing this Chinese song? Okay, this Chinese song. To